Amen. Another day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. If you are been blessed by the singing today, you ought to clap, let somebody know, because God truly has been good. And y'all have blessed us, and as you've led us into worship, I want to say thank you to Minister Johnson for sharing with us song and scripture and prayer. I'm going to read that 13th and 14th verse from Matthew chapter 2. It says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. The 14th verse says, so he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Amen. Let me put a tag on this text today. I want to talk about God is sovereign. God is sovereign. As we embark upon a new year, the first Sunday of worship, I think it would be good for all of us to begin this year with a narrative reminding and imparting in our hearts and minds that God is sovereign. You won't see that word in the King James Version, but it's a word it's actually the translation of the word Lord, ruler, master. God is sovereign, ruler, master. God's in charge. God can do anything he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, and he doesn't have to ask anybody's permission or opinion, because God is sovereign. He was sovereign when I was 7 years old and gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was raised in the Greater Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church. He was sovereign when he brought a man from Hopkinsville and another family from Missouri to All Land at the Greater Gethsemane Baptist Church and allowed us to come together, our families to worship together, to grow together. It was God's sovereign hand. Though the church went through a whole lot of stuff, these two families didn't fall out, didn't leave the church. And as a result of God's sovereign hand, met a little girl when I was 5 in Sunday school, and we've been married now for 39 years. That was the sovereign hand of God. I see the sovereign hand of God all over the place, and I want to encourage you, because I believe if we look at this text, you'll see the sovereign hand of God as well. Jerry, there's been some things I've been hearing lately that have caused me to cringe. I've heard people say things like, I can't wait till 2020 is over. Heard people say things like, 2020 was the worst year of my life. I've heard people say things like, this is the most horrible experience I've ever had. And I understand people that don't know God saying those kinds of things, because they don't know our God. They don't know who he is. They don't know that he's sovereign. But I struggle when I hear people who are churchgoers and say they are believers act in such dismay. I'm not suggesting that we haven't had some tough days. I'm not suggesting that we haven't cried some tears. But you got to be careful about saying, this is the worst year of my life, because your life ain't over. You got to be careful about saying how horrible things are, because in the midst of struggle, God is still good and God is still God. I wanted to peek in on this text because I want you to see the context of what's going on in Matthew chapter 2. I was there last week, gave big ups to the wise men because of their faithfulness, because of their fortitude, because of their focus. They had been to the house. They had been to the house and they had worshiped the little child. He's about CJ's age. About this time, he's about 18 months. He's on his feet. He's on the move. They're in the house, and can't you see him clinging to his mama as these strange guys with strange dress, with strange voices come into the house, and you can imagine. Jesus is about to approach the terrible twos. Wouldn't it funny? Can you imagine Joseph cutting the switch for Jesus? Another story, another day, but it is something to think about. But the Bible clearly says he's a young child. Verse 13 says this is the same night. They didn't stay long. They did what they came to do. But verse 13 says, after they had left, the context of what's going on, this visit was filled with rejoicing. This visit was blessed with some resources. These resources would provide relief, and you would think it would be a great time to rest and chill. They've got a house. Jesus has already been to the temple. They're setting up, they're having a reset in a new place. It's a new day. They have another visit that goes along with all the other things that they had witnessed. The shepherd, Simeon, Aunt Anna, all of these things. Mary is building a file on the goodness of God. And now they put Jesus to sleep. He's a toddler. He's gone to sleep. And what do you do when toddlers go to sleep? You better go to sleep. Mary's asleep and Joseph is asleep. And the text says that while he's asleep, the angel of the Lord comes and appears to him in a dream. And he says to him, hey, Joseph, get up, take the child and your wife. And the King James Version says, flee. The NIV says, escape. Get out of here. Go to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, because Herod is going to be searching and he's looking to kill the child. And the text says in verse 14 that he got up. He woke Mary up, they got the baby up, and they left that night for Egypt. One of the things that this shows us, it's important to know, I'm gonna go right back to my title, God is sovereign. But even in God being sovereign, we can go from one extreme to another. In life, in the sovereignty of God, there are times that the paths that he picks for us have trials in them. They have mountains in them. They have valleys in them. But the good news is the Bible is filled with individuals that walked with God, that talked with God, and we get to witness over and over that God will stand by you, that God will see you through. In the same day, it's the same evening, they went from rejoicing to reeling because somebody was going to be looking to destroy, to kill the child. I'm reminded of that baritone voice of Deacon Frank Newell, who used to pray this prayer. He would say, and God, we don't know what's going to happen before the setting of today's sun, but I'm confident in this one thing, that whatever does come our way, I'm convinced that you either sent it or you allowed it, and you'll give us strength to get through it. You don't know from the time the sun rises
till the time the sun sets, what you are going to face. But I want to celebrate today because God is sovereign. One of the things that God will do, he will give you a different perspective. That's my first point. You can trust God when you walk with God. God will give you perspective. What's perspective? Ed, perspective is it's a different way of viewing things. Perspective is a different attitude when you're facing things. God, when you walk with God, even in the midst of a pandemic, God will allow you to see some stuff that other folk can't see. God will bless you and give you insight so that you don't have to pull your hair out and you ain't got to jump off no bridge, because the sovereign allows his children to have a different perspective when we face trials. He never told us that we weren't going to have trials. He never told us that our road wasn't going to be easy, but he did say he'd be with us, not part of the way, but he'd walk with us. Won't he? Won't he do it? God will give perspective. And what you'll discover is, in the midst of whatever it is we have to face, God will do some stuff. And then you'll be able to say, that was God's hands. It was God's hands that touched the heart of the Magi almost 2 years ago and told them, you need to roll. Where we gonna go? No, it was God's hands sovereignly bringing them on that specific journey. But not only do you get to see God's hands moving on people you don't know, places you've never been. Madison, God will move on people you don't know, places you've never been, to get them to where you are so that you can see that he has the power to bless you. He has the power of opening windows. He has the power to provide. He has the power. You get to see God's hand, but you also get to see God's heart. They come, it's a baby, but they see a king. It's a toddler, but they see the King of the Jews. And even in the midst of what they're going to have to go through, see, here's what's so interesting. When the Magi arrived, they had no news about the threat. The threat didn't come till after they were gone. But God sees, don't he see the end from the beginning? He sees it, and they're sitting there thinking that this is just another chapter in the raising of Jesus, and they're celebrating, they're rejoicing, they're grateful for resources. They don't totally understand it all, but these are young people that got good manners, and they've got sense enough to tell God, to tell them thank you, and to understand this happened as a result of the fact that God is sovereign. And when he's sovereign, God will give you a perspective to allow you to see his hand. God moves his hand because what he feels about you in his heart. God shows up ahead of time. He shows up ahead of time. Why? Because he cares for you. That's why you can walk by faith. That's why you can trust God. That's why you can do the things that you do that other folk don't understand. Because when you know that God is sovereign, he allows you to see his hand. He allows you to see his heart because he cares for you. And he allows you to know that he's always there to help you through. Doesn't mean that you won't have difficulties. Doesn't mean that you don't have trials. And every now and then, if you aren't careful, you'll focus way too much on the trial rather than the person, the God you have, that is there to help you through. You remember there was a little boy who had a puzzle he was trying to put together, and he just couldn't do it, and he reached a point where he was frustrated. It was a puzzle that a whole lot of pieces, he couldn't figure it out. He used to been doing stuff quick, fast, and in a hurry, but on this one, he walked away, and his father watched him all the time. The pieces weren't coming together like they used to. The picture wasn't coming together like it used to, and he walked away, and his father asked him, "Why did you walk away?" In frustration, he said, "I can't do it." And the father asked him, did you give your best? Did you try?" He said, "I tried, but I couldn't do it." He said, "Did you get all the help you could?" And if he didn't understand, and the little boy had to finally listen to the father, he said, "Son, I was here all the time. I bought the puzzle for you. I gave it to you. I knew it was going to be a challenge, but I'm standing right here. And here's what I need to tell you: when you can't figure it out, you've got a God, you have a Father who's right by your side. When you can't put it all together, you've got a Father. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we don't turn to the Father who is right there all along. God is sovereign. And I rest it because he's sovereign, he'll give you a perspective, a new attitude, a way of viewing things, an outlook that others can't see, because you know God's hand when you see it. You know God's heart when you feel it. You know God's help when it comes. Because God is sovereign, he will give you perspective. But not only will God give you perspective, but because God is sovereign, it means that you ought to make the passion, your passion, the Word of God. You ought to make the Word of God your very passion. Because everything that you're going to need to get through is tied to what he said. You got to focus. You got to make, because God is sovereign, you got to focus. Make your passion the Word of God. What did he say? What did he say? It was a good day. They tucked away baby Jesus, getting a little sleep for themselves. And now all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord is bumping Joseph one more time. Joseph, what did he say? And here's why I want to share with you that you ought to make your passion the Word of God, because God's already given you proof. He's already given you proof that his Word is good. Let me help somebody up in here. Doesn't God have a history with you already? Come on, come on, tell the truth. Don't you and God have something going on? Has not God showed himself mighty in your life in the past? Hasn't God proven that he's with? I know he's proven it because you're here right now. In the midst of a racism, you're still here. There's all kind of stuff that people, many of us and others, have gone through. My grandfather used to talk about in Hopkinsville, when they were walking down the sidewalk and a white person would come, they would step off the sidewalk, because back in those days, you didn't want anybody accusing you of anything. You could end up being some fruit on a tree. Y'all who know anything about lynching understand what I'm talking about. They went through some stuff, but he made it. My daddy couldn't go to the movies unless they went around the back, went up in the balcony, but he made it. He's 80 years old, but he made it. I heard Poindexter call him a boy when he was a grown man. Made me mad myself. He went through some things, but he made it. My mama, she cleaned a whole lot of toilets. She served a whole lot of tables, But I want to tell you, she made it. She's 82 right now. And I need to, all of y'all, every now and then, you ought to hit rewind. Because God's already proven it doesn't mean that it wasn't tough. It doesn't mean that it wasn't difficult. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. God not only saw you to it, but God saw you through it. And now here we are looking back and we're getting ready to see some things that we've never seen before. A black woman getting ready to be vice president, good God Almighty, in the midst of a pandemic. God's letting us see some stuff that we've never seen before because he is sovereign. God's already proven, didn't say it wasn't going to be easy, but did say he would be with us. What did he say? He's proven it because he's brought you from your past, you're safe in the present. But what did he say? He said, get up, take your child, and take your wife, and flee. Go to Egypt. Go down to Egypt. And stay there until I tell you. That's enough right there. I told you, make his word your passion. You remember how Jesus had to scold the disciples that time where they were in the boat in the middle of the lake, and then they had a storm. They got wet, they got scared, and then they woke up Jesus and had the audacity to ask him, you don't even care. We about to drown up in here, and you snoring on a pillow. Jesus had to scold them, rightly so, because they didn't focus on his word. Before they got in the boat, Jesus said, come on, let's go over to the other side. When Jesus said, we're going over, you don't have to worry about going under. It doesn't mean that your boat won't get rocked sometime. It doesn't mean that it won't blow you due. It doesn't mean that you won't get wet, but you gotta focus. Let your passion be on what he said. And what he said was, take your wife. Go down to Egypt. In other words, if Jesus said you're going to make it to Egypt, you're going to make it in Egypt. In other words, Jesus told Joseph to take Mary and Jesus, and I'm going to send y'all down to Egypt to hide out a while. You do know, see, our country has never adequately dealt with the racism and all of the things that has been done intentionally to try to keep some people down while indirectly raising others up. And somebody, when I was a little boy, they had Jesus, blonde hair and blue eyes, but he's hiding in Egypt. You do know Egypt's in Africa. How you gonna hide? Yeah, that's like putting a fly in a bowl of milk. You can't hide. another story, another day. But he said, go down to Egypt. That's where you're going to hide. Now, here's what's amazing. It's all a part of God's plan. God loves everybody. And here he does. He sends them down to some brown folk, some black folk. You hide down there. Now, isn't it interesting that Moses and Jesus got a lot in common? I'm gonna prove it. Watch this, Trudy. Moses was outside of Egypt, and God called him to go into Egypt to deliver the people. He got to go back in to Egypt to deliver the people. Jesus is in Egypt, and he leaves Egypt to go to Israel to deliver the people. Both of them are connected to Egypt. Jesus is coming out of Egypt. Moses is going into Egypt, but both of them are vessels to deliver God's people. You'll catch that in a minute. Both of them are delivering God's people. It's all a part of his plan, because God said, out of Egypt, I have called my child. What did he say? He said, go to Egypt. What else did he say? Stay there. What else did he say? Till I tell you different. Now, that's a powerful word right there, which means that whatever happens, I'm going to survive in Egypt. Whatever that means is that there's another word coming. Excuse me. Y'all need to know that the Lord ain't through. He always has another word coming. Here's where I need you to go. Here's what I need you to do. Here's how long I need you to stay. How long? Till? Is it a month? Is it 2 months? Don't know. Just stay there. Till. Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it through? When Jesus gets through elementary school, it doesn't say. Just stay right there. Till. Because there's another word. There's another word coming. I need to help somebody up in here. Come here. Come here real close. I know God may have you in a tight situation, but you stay right there, because there's another word. There's another word coming. Ed, stay put, because there's another word coming. And guess what? The word comes in the 19th verse. He has another dream. You can leave Egypt now, because the one who was trying to kill your child, he's dead. But on the way back, there's another word, because he'll give you the word when you're parked, and he'll give you a word when you're on the way. In the 22nd verse, he gives him another word, because the person who took Herod's place was just as crazy as Herod. And so he decided to land in Nazareth. Nazareth. Nazareth, which means you don't have to be in a big city for God to use you. Nazareth. You don't have to be in the capital city for God to do great things in your life. Nazareth. Can anything come from Nazareth? But yet that's where Joseph, that's where the Holy Ghost, that's where he decided to settle to raise his child. Joseph raised Jesus in Nazareth. And it was out of Nazareth that his ministry began. God is sovereign. He'll give you a different perspective, different outlook, different way of viewing things. And I want to encourage y'all, because there's a whole lot of folk angry at God, frustrated with God, but a lot of them are ignorant of God. People been treating God like a divine Santa Claus. They ignorant of God. People think that God is here to make them happy. No, God is here to help you become holy. People get frustrated. They acting like two-year-olds when they can't do what they've always done. God's trying to save your cotton-picking life. doggone it. He's God. He's sovereign. He'll give you a different perspective. Because he's sovereign, you ought to make your focus on the word your passion. And here's the final thing I want to tell you. Because God is sovereign, you need to learn how to pack light. You gotta learn how to pack light. How do you jump up in the middle of the night and move to another country at a moment's notice? Because they learned how to pack light. First of all, they kept their bills up. And when you done paid everybody, they ain't like some folk, they ain't sneaking out trying to avoid the rent. No, they handling their business. That's part of packing light. And here's the real deal. Jerry, the stuff that really matters really don't take up a lot of luggage space. The stuff that's going to really see you through, it really can't fit in luggage. Character. You ain't got to put character in a duffel bag. Faith. You don't need an overnighter for your faith. Work ethic. You don't need a box from U-Haul to put work ethic in. The stuff that really matters does not take up a lot of space. Kindness. You don't need a lot of space for kindness. Temperance. Perseverance. You don't need a lot of space. I'm trying to tell you, our problem is we try to hold on to a bunch of junk that don't matter. And the stuff that does matter, we throw away. How is it that Joseph and Mary were able to roll wherever they landed? They went to Bethlehem and landed on their feet. They went to Egypt and landed on their feet. They back in Nazareth and landed on your feet. I'm trying to tell you, the stuff that really matters, you can't put in a box. Why don't you develop character? Godliness, a work ethic, get some knowledge in your head, get some skills in your hand. And if you do that, and if you've got faith, because ultimately what you discover, it's not where you are, it's who you're with. God was with them in Bethlehem. That's why they landed on their feet. God was with them when they were in Egypt. That's how they landed on their feet. God was with them in Nazareth. That's how they landed on their feet. If you're going to make it, let's not live by the year. Let's do it day by day. Psalm 118 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." I don't know what what's going to happen in February, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make some plans, and then I'm going to say, if the Lord will, have I got a witness here? I'm going to set some goals, but then I'm going to say, if God will, there's some things I want to do, but I'm going to say it like Mama Seal used to say it, if the Lord remains the same. Have I got a witness here? Won't he walk with you and talk with you? I'm not living a year by a year. I'm not living month by month. I'm going to do it one day at a time. One step at a time. Have I got a witness here? Mary Beth Seward, psalmist and beloved daughter of the St. John Missionary Baptist Church in Terre Haute, Indiana, where Pastor Ladd was the pastor. He's on the other side now. At the end of the service, they would close out their service like this. She would stand and the choir would say, they would begin this song. The words of this song said, it's been a good day, a mighty good day. Just before I close my eyes to sleep, I want to thank the Lord for being good, for being kind, for being sweet. And I may not have done all that I wanted to do, but Lord, it's been a mighty good day. It's been a good day, a mighty good day. That's how they left the worship, just knowing that God is sovereign, knowing that God's given you perspective, knowing that you can be passionate about His word, knowing that you can pack light. As long as you got Jesus, you got everything you need. Don't know what's going to happen before I lay my head down, but I'm going to tell the Lord, you've been good. It's been a good day. You let me rest last night. It's been a good day. You woke me early this morning. It's been a good day. You put clothes on my back. You gave me something to eat. It's been a good day. You helped me pay my bills and help others along the way. Oh, it's been a really good day. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Our God is sovereign. Amen. Let's thank God for the word. Amen. My.